the Conscious Style Podcast, where we explore what it will take to build a better, more sustainable, and equitable future for fashion. I'm your host, Elizabeth Joy. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hey there, and welcome to episode number 2 of the Conscious Style Podcast. These first few episodes of the show are dedicated to sharing some background on some of the main issues in fashion and concepts of more conscious fashion. There will be interviews coming very soon, but first I wanted to share some context to the conversations that we'll be having here on the show. The last episode gave an introduction to ethical fashion, and this episode will be all about sustainable fashion. I'll be talking about what sustainable fashion is, why it's so important, i.e. the impacts of the fashion industry on the planet and living beings on it, the benefits of shifting to a more thoughtful fashion ecosystem, how you can get started with sustainable fashion, what to look for in a more sustainable fashion brand, and how to get involved with the movement beyond conscious consumerism. There is a lot to cover here, so let's get started. Sustainable fashion is probably the most common term thrown around, so you've probably seen it a lot, but that doesn't make the term any less confusing. In fact, it might make it more confusing because it's been so overused and misused. But this episode will explore what sustainable fashion is actually all about. Sustainable fashion essentially refers to garments and accessories that are produced and or accessed in an ecologically and socially responsible way. The reason that I used accessed in that definition is because sustainable fashion should not be limited to the production of or the purchasing of new things. Sustainability is not something that you have to buy into. Yes, we can make fashion more sustainably, but the sustainable fashion movement should not be narrowly defined and limited to the production and purchasing of new goods. Okay, so now that I've cleared that up a little bit, I want to talk about some other related terms that you might see and how they differ from sustainable fashion. Terms like eco-friendly fashion, green fashion, or eco-conscious fashion are all terms that are pretty clearly focused on the environment. Eco or green fashion is about leaving a minimal negative or even a net positive ecological impact. Sustainable fashion, on the other hand, to me, should be viewed as a more holistic term that sort of combines eco-friendly and ethical fashion. Sustainable fashion encompasses consideration for the planet as well as everything on it, which includes animals, water, land, plants, and of course, people. Unfortunately, this is not always how the term is used. For instance, there are some fashion brands that may call their collections sustainable when they're made from recycled fabrics, even if they were made in sweatshops. This is not really that holistic understanding of sustainability. It's more just greenwashing. And I won't go too much down that rabbit hole because there will be an entire episode on greenwashing in fashion because there's a lot to unpack there. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast to get notified when that episode does go live. Now let's talk about why sustainable fashion is so important. Fashion as an industry has been causing harmful environmental and social impacts for a very long time. Far before fast fashion. What we know as sweatshops today actually first popped up in England during the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s. And these early garment and textile factories were heavily reliant on coal. Plus, the shift to producing huge amounts of industrial cotton for industrial textiles was a major driver for slavery. While fashion's problems are not new, fast fashion has been a huge contributor to the industry's problems today. Before I go any further, I just want to quickly clarify what I mean by fast fashion. Fast fashion is essentially trendy, cheap fashion that is produced very rapidly in large quantities. Examples of fast fashion brands include Zara, H&M, Boohoo, Pretty Little Thing, Uniqlo, Gap, Primark, and Fashion Nova. So why exactly is fast fashion so bad? Well, the fast fashion model is built on an endless cycle of overproduction and overconsumption. The cheap prices from fast fashion brands are only possible because they produce in such huge quantities. The parent company of Zara alone produced about 840 million garments per year, and H&M produces about 3 billion per year. So even as some fast fashion brands are incorporating a small percentage of recycled and organic materials in their collections, the level of production that they engage in will never be sustainable. We have to think about where all of those clothes are going to go. And the rise of fast fashion has also sparked a sort of race to the bottom for the industry as a whole. Brands are trying to produce more and more clothes, faster and faster, cheaper and cheaper, to keep up with the fast fashion brands. Just how bad is it? Well, here are some statistics to paint the picture. Textile production was responsible for 1.2 billion tons of CO2 equivalent in 2015 alone. This is more than the emissions from all international flights and maritime and shipping combined. And this stat is not exactly surprising when you consider how heavily reliant the fashion industry is on fossil fuels. Synthetic fabrics made from non-renewables like petroleum make up nearly 70% of the material input for clothes globally. And if fashion keeps this up at the current rates of growth, the industry is predicted to consume 25 to 30% of the world's remaining carbon budget by 2050. And not only are synthetic fibers bad for global warming, but they're also a major contributor to microplastic pollution. In fact, washing garments made from synthetic fibers is responsible for an estimated 35% of global microplastic pollution. And it's not just what these clothes are made of, but it's also how much is being produced. Annual production exceeded 100 billion garments for the first time in 2014. People cannot wear and keep all of these clothes. One garbage truck's worth of textiles is landfilled or incinerated every single second. This landfill waste releases pollutants into the surroundings and contributes to habitat loss. And speaking of habitat loss, we also have to talk about the logging of trees. More than 150 million trees are logged annually for cellulose fibers like viscose, and many of these trees are coming from ancient and endangered forests. This habitat loss, of course, has a major impact on animals. When we talk about animal-friendly fashion, it's easy to jump to assuming that that would be any vegan fashion. However, it's much more complicated than that. Sometimes the extraction of resources, whether that's petroleum for polyester or trees for viscose, can actually damage habitats and hurt or even kill animals indirectly as well, even if those materials are advertised as vegan and cruelty-free. In fact, the fashion industry is a major driver for biodiversity loss, and this is something that we absolutely cannot ignore. About 1 million species, between 12 and 20% of estimated total species, are under threat of extinction. There is a very in-depth guide about what fashion's impact is on biodiversity loss that I'll link in the show notes if you're curious to learn a little bit more about this. But the key thing here is that fashion's impact on animals goes beyond using animal products like leather or fur. And I think that this conversation is a bit more complex than sometimes publications and organizations say. There are some super amazing smaller conscious brands using recycled and plant-based materials for their vegan products. But I definitely would question a big fashion retailer advertising their products as vegan and really research what materials they're using and how they're sourcing those materials, because maybe if their sourcing practices are not very responsible, they could be still hurting animals in other ways that just aren't as visible. And those are just the environmental impacts. I talked much more about the social costs of fashion in the first episode on what is ethical fashion, but of course, any impact on the planet is an impact on people, as Earth is our only home, and as human beings, we are part of this environment. However, people are not all impacted equally by damages to our environment. People in the global south and communities of color globally are disproportionately impacted by environmental pollution and the climate crisis. This is called environmental racism. How exactly is fashion implicated in environmental racism? Well, it's not too difficult to see this when we look at where most of the pollution in fashion takes place. The pollution of waterways, air, and the soil happens where the products are being produced and where the fiber production, particularly if it's industrial agriculture, takes place. This is largely the global south. And those most exposed to the toxic chemicals used for things like dyeing garments, tanning leather, waterproofing footwear, and making clothing wrinkle-free are garment workers, which, as we discussed in the first episode, are primarily women of color, whether that's in Dhaka, Bangladesh, or in Los Angeles, United States. Plus, of course, big fashion is a huge part of the climate crisis, as the statistics I shared earlier showed. The climate crisis is impacting the global south and people of color globally disproportionately. A recent report by The Lancet found that the global north is responsible for 92% of excess greenhouse gas emissions, so nearly all of them. And the United States alone is responsible for 40%. Yet, countries in the global south who are least responsible for the crisis will face the most devastation from climate change and have the least resources to adapt or recover. And as a report from Yale explains, people of color are impacted most by climate change in the United States too. People of color are, quote, more likely to be more vulnerable to heat waves, extreme weather events, environmental degradation, and subsequent labor market dislocations. All right, so that was a brief overview of how the fashion industry has such a massive negative impact on people and the planet. But the flip side of this coin is that shifting to a more sustainable fashion industry can also have an immensely positive impact on people and the planet. With the industry responsible for such a significant portion of global carbon emissions, fixing fashion could also mean making significant progress on our global climate goals. There are also hundreds of millions of people working in fashion and textile production, either directly or indirectly. So improving the supply chain of fashion could dramatically improve the lives of many. But what exactly would a shift to sustainable fashion mean? Well, first, it would require using what already exists a whole lot more. The most earth-friendly garment is the one hanging in your closet. Yep, the most affordable option is also the most eco-conscious option. Even if you are looking to add to your closet or switch things up, or you need garments in a new size or anything like that, you can still make the most of what has already been produced. You could borrow from or swap with a friend, browse your local thrift stores, or check out some online secondhand fashion marketplaces, or consider alternative models like rental. But what about when you do want to buy something new with intention? Let's talk about how to navigate shopping more consciously or sustainably. So the reality is that terms like conscious or eco, green, fair, and so on don't really mean anything in and of themselves because these terms are not regulated and there is no standard definition. While words like this could help you to start identifying sustainably made pieces, say by typing them into your search engine, they alone are not enough and don't necessarily guarantee that that piece is actually sustainably made. Instead, here are some elements to look for. 1. See if the fabrics have a low negative impact or a positive overall impact. The world of fabrics is quite complex, but don't let this deter you from starting to make more conscious choices. It's about doing better, not being perfect. Upcycled and repurposed materials are ideal. If you see that a piece was made from something called dead stock, that means that it was made from existing fabric that had been left over. Also know that in general, natural fibers are preferable over synthetic petroleum-based fibers. However, conventional cotton is known to be the worst of the natural fibers due to its heavy pesticide and water use. Organic cotton is generally a more environmentally conscious choice. And when you are looking for organic cotton, you can look for the certification GOTS, and that stands for Global Organic Textile Standard. This is the highest standard in the industry. Of course, it's not perfect, just like no certification is, but it's definitely something to look for when you're browsing for a garment. Though about 1/6 of the world's cotton is grown in the Xinjiang region of China, where there are disturbing reports of labor abuses, including forced labor, of the country's Muslim Uyghur minority. And this points to why sustainability must also always consider people too. Some other natural fibers to look for are hemp and linen. These are both low-impact fabrics, and hemp can even enhance soil health and have a positive impact on the environment, which is really cool. Speaking of fibers with a positive impact, there are also regenerative fibers. These are animal or plant-based fibers, such as wool or cotton, that are grown or raised using holistic management practices, or really indigenous and traditional farming practices, that sequester carbon, build soil health, and restore land, among a number of other benefits. For more on regenerative fibers and regenerative textile systems, visit fibershed.org. This is definitely a topic that needs its own episode or a few, so stay tuned for an interview on regenerative textile systems in a later episode of this podcast. Another category of fibers to be aware of are cellulose fibers. These don't really fit into the synthetic category or the natural category. These fibers, like rayon, viscose, or lyocell, are made from tree pulp, and that means that trees have to be cut down to produce them. So this is leading to the deforestation problem that I referenced earlier, and you can go to canopyplanet.org to learn more about deforestation and fashion. So when you are researching a brand or browsing for a garment and it's made from cellulose fibers, just make sure that that brand is sourcing those fabrics responsibly. One better cellulose fiber to look for is tencel, which is made with the wood pulp of trees from FSC-certified forests. And tencel is also produced in a closed-loop process that recycles the water used and recovers more than 99% of the solvents used. And another fabric that sort of falls into this gray area and can be a little controversial is recycled synthetics. For items where the options are primarily synthetic, such as swimwear or activewear, choosing recycled is a step up from virgin synthetic materials that require the extraction of fossil fuels. But synthetic fabrics are not without their issues. For one, washing synthetic textiles, recycled or not, is a major source of microplastics. And also, creating textiles made from things like recycled plastic bottles is quite energy intensive. I want to wrap up this section with two final notes. One is that there is no end-all, be-all, one perfect sustainable fiber because there are a lot of layers to consider, such as where that fiber is being grown. Some fibers may be able to grow better in certain areas, while other fibers may grow better in different areas. And the second is that no matter what textile you're purchasing, it required energy, time, and resources to produce. So the best thing is to make the most out of whatever you already have, making the most out of what already exists by shopping secondhand, and purchasing new garments with intention that you will wear hundreds of times and for many years to come. Okay, and beyond fabrics, let's talk about the materials for packaging. Eco-friendly packaging might look something like minimal packaging or using reusable packaging. Perhaps they use recycled materials or at-home compostable materials. This is definitely a great bonus, and I've been seeing more and more brands incorporate sustainable packaging, which is exciting to see. Now let's talk about dyes. Sometimes, even when a garment is made from a natural organic fabric, it could still be colored with synthetic dyes. And synthetic dyes, just like synthetic fabrics, are derived from petroleum. They also can be extremely toxic, containing heavy metals like chromium, mercury, lead, among a number of other really harmful chemicals. And so, in the communities where this textile dyeing takes place, these chemicals are polluting the waterways and the air. As the documentary River Blue highlights, these communities are facing high rates of disease, cancer, birth defects, and a number of other health issues. So, if synthetic dyes are so harmful, why are they used? Well, as with most things in the fashion industry, it's largely driven by price and convenience. Synthetic dyes are significantly cheaper than natural dyes, and they adhere to fabric quicker and can create a wider range of colors. So anytime a fast fashion brand is selling an organic cotton garment for a really low price, it was probably dyed with synthetic dyes. If a brand is using natural dyes, they will most likely state it on their website and/or on their product pages if only certain pieces are made with natural dyes. As with anything in sustainable fashion, there are more complexities to this conversation with natural dyes. This is because the elements used to adhere the natural dyes to the fabric are sometimes toxic themselves. There's also low-impact dyes, which are synthetic but do not contain toxic chemicals or mordants. They require less rinsing than conventional dyes and have a higher absorption rate in the fabric, which means that there's less wastewater in the dyeing process. And then a subcategory of low-impact dyes is fiber-reactive dyes. And these are dyes that are low-impact synthetic dyes that bond directly with the fibers of the garment. With most eco-conscious brands, especially bigger ones, it is more common to see these low-impact dyes rather than the natural dyes. If you do want to learn about some brands using natural dyes, though, I'm going to link a guide in the show notes to fashion brands using plant-based dyes. I'd love to bring on someone to the show to talk more about natural and low-impact dyes later on. All right, now let's move on to resource use. As if it wasn't bad enough that most fashion is made from fossil fuel fabrics, most fashion production is made in factories that get their energy from fossil fuels. This element, I think, needs to be talked about more in the sustainable fashion space, but a sustainable garment should be ideally made in facilities that are powered by energy sources like wind or solar. Some big fashion brands have come out with their carbon neutral pledges or net zero pledges that are often achieved by purchasing carbon offsets. But what I would really like to see is how those brands are helping the factories that they source from shift to renewable energy. All right, another element of fashion production to consider is water and chemical use. Truly sustainable fashion should be mindful of water use through things like water recycling or water-efficient dyeing practices, and toxic chemicals through things like using non-toxic dyes or organic materials. Also, consider that genuine sustainability goes beyond reducing your carbon footprint or water footprint or anything like that. Sustainability is also about people. A truly sustainable brand must also follow ethical production standards. It is not sustainable to pay poverty wages and exploit your workers, despite whatever fast fashion brands are trying to convince us otherwise with their big marketing campaigns. For more on this, go back to episode number 1, What is Ethical Fashion? Finally, there may be additional elements that you want to look for. Maybe you want to support a brand that donates to environmental causes that are aligned with your values. Perhaps you only want to purchase vegan fashion or something like that. There are a number of other things that you may want to consider that are important to you. This episode is just an introduction to sustainable fashion and certainly does not cover everything. Now I want to move on to the topic of getting involved in the sustainable fashion movement. Sustainable fashion is about far more than what you do or don't buy. This movement should not be centered on consumerism because, as we talked about, not only is this exclusive, but it's also inadequate to address the scale of these issues. So here are some other ways to get involved. The first is to just talk with the people in your life. You don't have to be an Instagram influencer to influence people. In fact, you might be able to reach people outside of this sustainability bubble better in your real life. Some ways that you can spread the word are sharing books, podcasts, articles, or other resources that you found informative with your friends or family or others in your life. You could also plan an activity. For instance, you could host a swap party and have your friends bring clothes that they no longer want to wear and have people swap with each other. And during these COVID times, you could even do that virtually. Another activity might be suggesting going to the thrift store together with your friends if they're unfamiliar with secondhand shopping. There are really a bunch of ways that you could do this, and you can decide whatever makes most sense with what your relationship is like with the people in your life. Another way to get involved is to get active with local or national or even global communities. If you're in school, you could see if there's an environmental or sustainability-focused group that you could join, and even if they're not talking about sustainable fashion yet, you can bring that element to the discussion. If you're not in school, you can also join something like Fashion Revolution's country teams or the Remake Ambassador Program. I am actually a Remake ambassador, and I definitely recommend that program. So I'll put the link to that, as well as the link to the Fashion Revolution country team's information, in the show notes so that you can check it out if you're interested. Think about your talents and your skills and how you might be able to use those for the sustainable fashion movement. And now for probably my favorite way of getting involved, becoming a digital activist. I touched on this in the previous episode as well, but essentially digital activism is just about using digital tools to push for a more sustainable industry. You don't have to be an influencer, and it doesn't require a ton of time necessarily. I would suggest starting out by following organizations on social media that already have ongoing campaigns and then amplifying their calls to action, whether that's retweeting or reposting, sharing to your stories, or anything like that. This helps their campaigns reach new people and reach bigger audiences. And of course, you can take action yourself on these campaigns, whether those calls to action are signing petitions, emailing legislators, writing brands. There are usually a bunch of different ways to get involved. Some organizations to check out are Fashion Revolution, which is fash_rev on Instagram, Remake, which is Remake Our World on Instagram, the Garment Worker Center, which is Garment Worker Center on Instagram, and the Clean Clothes Campaign, which is Clean Clothes Campaign on Instagram. And I will put all of those links in the show notes so that you can easily access them. Another way that you can use digital tools for sustainable fashion activism is by messaging brands. You can do this either through direct message on Instagram or another social media platform, or by emailing brand representatives. And in these messages, you can ask them questions about their carbon emissions, water use, toxic chemical use, or really any of the things that we talked about earlier in this episode. Pick a few of your top concerns and ask questions what they're doing to address these issues. We need to hold these brands accountable, particularly the biggest fashion brands in the industry that have the biggest impact. And if you bought something recently from a fashion brand and you're not sure what their sustainability record is like, you could leave a review of the product that you purchased saying that, you know, maybe you like the fit or the style, but you're a little concerned if the garment was sustainably made. Brands are always listening to their customers and definitely care a lot about their reviews. And there are many other ways to get involved, as we'll dive into throughout this podcast. But for now, I'll close out this episode with a few things to keep in mind. The first is to give yourself grace. With all of the greenwashing going on and the lack of standardization or regulation, sustainable fashion is confusing. So ask questions, keep a healthy dose of skepticism of brand claims, and understand that it's a constant learning process. You won't know it all right away, or really ever. We're all on this journey, and we're continually evolving by unlearning and learning what sustainable fashion really is all about. Also know that it's a journey and not a destination. I know that's super cliche, but it's also true. Sustainable fashion isn't about reaching some sort of individual perfection. It's about pushing the industry forward to be better. Also, on any sustainable fashion journey, we should be centering BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, thought leaders, and knowledge. There is a great roundup of women of color sustainable fashion activists that I will link in the show notes. And if you're feeling ready to learn more, I have a guide to some sustainable fashion courses and other educational resources, most of which are free, and I will also link that in the show notes. All right, that, my friend, is all for now. So thank you so much for joining me today. If you're finding this podcast valuable so far and you want to help it reach more people, you can share it with a friend, post about it on social media, or if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a review. All of these things would be greatly appreciated and help us continue this podcast. And finally, if you're looking for more Conscious Style content, you can visit consciouslifeandstyle.com, follow at Conscious Style on Instagram, and subscribe to the weekly newsletter, The Conscious Edit, by visiting consciouslifeandstyle.com/edit. In this newsletter, I send consciously curated recommendations for reading, listening to, watching, supporting, and a bunch more. And that wraps it up for this episode. So I will catch you again in episode number 3, What is Slow Fashion, next week.